All right, is everybody's anxiety level up now? Everybody needs to take a blood pressure pill at this point. Well, today we're starting a new series. It's going to last for 3 weeks called Breathing Room. And one of the reasons we thought about this series is that according to a demographic study of the Five Forks area, more specifically, a study of the 6 mile radius from where you're sitting right now, two of the biggest concerns on people's minds are dealing with stress and finding life balance. Of all the people in the 6 mile radius of Advent, that's what people in our area reported that they struggle with the most, finding life balance and dealing with stress. But I bet that doesn't surprise you all that much, does it? Because some of you are dealing with stress and trying to find life balance. In fact, some of you might be thinking, amen, that's me right there. That's me all day long. My life is so overrun with stress, I wouldn't even begin to know balance if I saw it. I mean, every day just feels like I hop on the hamster wheel and I run as fast as I can and don't really feel like I ever get anywhere. You wake up early, try to go to the gym sometimes, maybe a few times. All right, maybe you don't try to go to the gym, but you wake up early and you take the kids to school and go to work, and then after work it's soccer practice and then karate and gymnastics, and maybe there's a committee meeting here at Advent because we like to have committee meetings here at Advent. We meet to plan some more meetings, and then after that you get home and you get everybody in the family fed and bathed and in the bed, and once everybody else is in the bed, then you get to go back to your email and start to respond to those 50 emails you didn't have time to respond to earlier in the day. And then you make out your to-do list for the next day. You go to bed late, and the next morning, you drag yourself out of bed to do it all over again. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Amen. So, some people are resonating with this. So, and sometimes even the weekends, we hope the weekends will bring relief, but a lot of times they don't because there's other things you have to do. There are birthday parties and there are appointments you have to make and engagements you have to be at. And then one day you realize that you're so exhausted from the rat race that you're not really enjoying any of it. The enjoyment's been sucked out of it because you've been running and running and running. I don't know about you, but that sounds familiar to me. And I'm guessing a lot of you, too, because not only did you amen, which is highly unusual for this Methodist crowd, but I like it. Don't stop. I mean, I like it. But also, since we announced this Breathing Room series, several of you have emailed or Facebook messaged me to say, I'm so glad you're doing this. That's me. And I'm hoping that there's something in there that God's able to speak to me. I'm just hoping there's some sort of relief because oftentimes it feels like I can't breathe. And even if you're not one of those people, even if you are not overrun with busyness at this particular moment, my guess is you can probably remember a time when you were. Even if you're retired, and you get to wake up whenever you want to wake up, and then you get to do whatever you want to do, I can see some of you out there, you grinning, and I could tell that you're just sitting there thinking, yep, it stinks to be all the rest of you. Bless your heart. It's why I retired. So, but whether you're in middle school or high school or college or whether you're way past that, life can very easily get cluttered, right? Very easily, we pack so much stuff in and it gets so jammed full of activity, we get pushed to the max, that we realize we're not even truly living, we're just going through the motions, and we feel like sometimes we're drowning and we can't catch our breath. And maybe it's not so much busyness that's got you overwhelmed and gasping for air. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you're maxed out financially and your things are tight and you're stretched so thin that you can barely make ends meet. And you know that you're just one little blip. You're just one unexpected medical expense, or you're one car accident away, or you're one bump in the economy away from being in very bad shape. And you know because you're stretched out to the limits and you don't have any financial breathing room. And you feel like you're in over your head and you're at the point where you just can't breathe. That's a horrible feeling, isn't it? to feel like you can't breathe, like you're suffocating. I mean, that's a terrible feeling, to not have any breathing room. Well, this whole idea of breathing room and the idea for this series, in fact, the graphics and the video that you saw just a minute ago, we bought all these from North Point Community Church. We saw that because this was something that seemed to be right in line with people in our demographic and people that I've spoken with inside our congregation, that the theme of this fits so perfectly. And I think that we can all agree that it's something that a lot of us struggle with. And I think we can also probably agree that life would be better if we had breathing room. Would you agree to that? See that amen that we did a while ago? I mean, already out the window. But so let me try that one more time. Life would be better with breathing room. So much better. Thank you so much. Life would be better with breathing room. So what I want to invite you to do, just for a second, everybody take a deep breath. And now exhale. That felt good, didn't it? It feels good when you have room to breathe. Life is so much more enjoyable. I know for me, I tend to push things to the limit. A lot of times we have meetings in the Greenville district, and most of our meetings happen down at Buncombe Street because I guess it's central and it's right next to the district office. And so we have to make a trip down to Buncombe Street United Methodist Church. And I know that it's supposed to take about 25 minutes, and I can do it faster than that, but you're not supposed to. But so, you know, about 35 minutes out from an appointment time or a meeting time, I'll begin to think, okay, I know it takes me 25 minutes. And it's 35 minutes until time for the meeting. I think I can probably get one more phone call in before I go. Any of you ever do this kind of thing? So you think, I'll just make this one quick phone call, and then I'll jump in the car. I got plenty of time. I'll make it there. But then what happens is that one phone call ends up taking 12, 14, 15 minutes. And then I'll hang up real quick, and I'll run, get in the car, and I'll drive out of the parking lot, and then there's Woodruff Road. Woodruff Road is the devil. And so, you know, you pull out on Woodruff Road and your blood pressure, my blood pressure starts to go up because people are cutting you off and they won't let you in. And it's you get frustrated with people around you driving, and I can just feel my blood pressure going up, especially as the time starts to tick and I realize I have cut it too short and I'm going to be running late. And I don't know about you, but if I had just left at 35 minutes when I had plenty of time, if I'd just been disciplined enough to take off then I would have plenty of room to breathe. And my blood pressure wouldn't get up and I wouldn't be so frustrated. And I might even show up to the meeting early because I gave myself breathing room. Life is better with breathing room. Andy Stanley says, breathing room is the space between our current pace and our limits. You hear that? Our breathing room is that space between our current pace and our limits. Now, we all have limits. We have time limitations. We have financial limitations. We have energy limitations. We have relationship limitations. We all have limits. And what happens is a lot of times the pace of life causes us to push ourselves all the way to the limit, so we have no margin and we have no breathing room. Breathing room, though, is the space between our current pace and our limits. And if we are disciplined, if we create that breathing room, if we decide we're not going to live at the limits, life is always better. Are you with me? So if that's true, and if life is always better with breathing room, then why in the world do we do that? Why do we push ourselves to the limits? Why do we max ourselves out? Why do we spend and schedule to the limits if life is so much better when we have breathing room? Why do we almost universally neglect to create it in our lives? When we get right down to it, there is one root cause, When you boil everything else away, there's one thing that causes us to go, 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 do, 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 spin, spin, spin. There's one thing that kind of drives us to that, to push life to the limits. And that one thing is fear. Fear causes us to push out and live life to the limits. You might be thinking, now what does fear have to do with breathing room? And let me show you how this plays out. If you're feeling overscheduled, then one thing you could do is maybe tell one of your children, like, all right, now you can do karate or you can do scouts, but you can't do karate and scouts and gymnastics and everything else. You have to choose one. Well, but if I do that, then my child might not be well-rounded. And if he or she is not real well-rounded, then maybe they won't. I'm worried that they won't make it into a good school. And more than that, I'm afraid if they're not well-rounded, then they might not get a scholarship. And Lord knows I have to have, my child has to have a scholarship in order for him or her to go to college. And so I'm afraid that if we make those kind of cuts in our lives, if we only allow our child to do one thing, they won't be well-rounded and result in not getting a scholarship and then not being able to go to the college that he or she really wants to go to. I'm worried that there will be some consequences for that. Well, why don't you give up something else? Why don't you give up X or Y or Z? Or why don't you stop doing A or B? Why don't you scale back? Well, if we do that, I'm worried that, I'm afraid that, if I give up my gym membership, I'm afraid that, I'm not really afraid of that one, but if we give up cable TV, I'm afraid that, if I refuse to work weekends, I'm afraid that, I'm worried that, if I turn down this invitation, I'm concerned that, you see how this works? That fear, that worry drives us to do more and more and more, to go, 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 do, 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 sometimes to spin, 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 and we realize after a while that we just don't have any breathing room, no margin, because we're driven by fear and worry to our capacities and maybe even beyond. That worry, that fear. It's a driver. Which brings us to our scripture passage for this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. That Grace read so eloquently just a few moments ago. Did you hear what Jesus had to say about worry and fear? I want to read it to you one more time just so we make sure we soak it in. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, life is better with breathing room. Can you do that for me? When you think about the things that drive us to push life to the limits, our schedules to the limits, our spending to the limits, one of the things that is that fear that we won't keep up, that we won't be able to stay even or maybe just a little ahead of the people around us, our neighbors. And so a lot of times it's stuff that drives us. So we'll say things like, my neighbor just got a new Land Rover or Mercedes or BMW, and gosh, that thing is nice. I sure would like. Maybe if I get that big deal at work, then maybe I can get one of those brand new Land Rovers or Mercedes or BMWs. Or the guy down the street, maybe it's something not even that big. Maybe it's just the guy down the street has a new fire pit. And wouldn't it be cool if we could invite our friends over and gather around the fire and roast marshmallows? I mean, those kinds of things drive us. The fear that we won't be able to keep up or with our neighbors, whether their name is Jones or not, that fear drives us to go, 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 do, spin, spin, spin. It's a lot of times it's about stuff. But notice what Jesus tells his disciples not to worry about. He doesn't tell them not to worry about little things. Here's what Jesus says, verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." That's a pretty big deal. "Do not worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or about your body or what you will wear. Is your life not more than food and the body more than clothing?" Jesus doesn't say, don't worry about your neighbor's Mercedes or BMW. Jesus doesn't say, don't worry about the guy down the street in his fire pit or whatever else. Jesus is talking about something much larger, something much more important. He's talking about the necessities of life. Don't worry about your food, what you're going to eat. Don't worry about your life, what you're going to wear. Those are necessities. You have to have food and drink and clothing to survive. And yet Jesus says, don't even worry about those. Yeah, they're necessary, but don't worry about them because God knows that you need them. God knows. God knows you need food to eat and clothes to wear. And God knows that you need a shelter to live in. God knows that, and God will take care of you. You don't have to work 70, 80 hours a week, and you don't have to push yourselves to the limit where you don't have any breathing room. Why? Because God knows your needs, and God cares. God will take care of you. We're sitting around a staff meeting this week and we were looking at this passage and we read it together, and then somebody said, if we're not supposed to worry even about the necessities of life like food and drink and clothing, if we're not supposed to worry about that, then we're really not supposed to worry about anything. And that's exactly right. Jesus tells us not to worry about food or clothing or drink. Don't worry about all that stuff because I got you. I care for you. I know that you need those things. If we trust God, here's the thing. You can't worry and trust God at the same time. You just can't. Those things are mutually exclusive. You can't. Now sometimes you can alternate between the two, but you can't do both at the same time. You can't worry and trust God at the same time. Jesus goes on to say this, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it's the Gentiles." The other translations say pagans. It's the pagans that worry and strive for all these things, and indeed your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. This is a powerful reminder. Every time we stress out trying to go to everything, or we rush around trying to make sure our children are involved in every activity, or we worry about saying no or saying yes, every time we worry if we don't do this or that, or we're afraid that, Jesus says, for it is the pagans, those people who don't even believe in God, or if they do believe in God, they believe in those Roman gods like Zeus and Aphrodite, and those gods don't care. They don't even care about humans. Those pagans who believe in those gods worry and strive after all those things, but your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, and your Heavenly Father cares for you. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Your Heavenly Father knows that your child needs to get that scholarship. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need to keep this job. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need to pay off that debt. Your Heavenly Father knows. What if we believed that? What if we really believed that? What if What if we were convinced of that all the way to our core? That God knows what we need, God has our best interests at mind, and God is at work on our behalf. Could it possibly help us to find breathing room? Because trusting God, if we truly trust God, it'll help to slow the worry and halt the hurry. If we truly trust. Well, where do you need breathing room in your life? Do you need breathing room in your schedule, in your relationships, in your finances? Where do you need breathing room? Are you willing to trust in those areas of your life that God knows, your Heavenly Father knows? And more than that, not only does God know, but God cares and will provide. Here's what I think is true. There are some people in our congregation this morning who have lived a good bit of life. They have a little more experience than the rest of us. And I think that some of them would say, you know, I wish I could go back to my 20s or my 30s or my 40s. Because if I could, I'd do things a little differently. I suspect there might be one or two of them who would say, I'd work less. I'd enjoy time with my family more. I bet there might be a few who would forfeit stuff and activity to enjoy the things that really matter. Because you know this, nobody on their deathbed ever says, you know what, I wish I'd just worked a little more. Wish I'd spent less time with my family so I could work more and then I could die having no regrets whatsoever. Nobody ever says that. Jesus finishes off the next to last verse in this passage of Scripture. Jesus says, he's already said, your Heavenly Father knows all these things you need. And then he gets to the next to the last verse, and here's what Jesus says. He says, but seek ye first, strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else you need will be added to you as well. Seek first. Get your priorities straight, and then everything else will be added to you as well. There's an old children's sermon. You've probably seen it. It's probably no news for you, but there's a children's sermon where there's a container, and there's a bunch of tiny marbles and rocks and sand and dirt, and then there's some big rocks. And so the children's sermon goes like this. You can scoop up the little rocks and pebbles, and you put those in, and the dirt and all that, and you put that in first, and then if you try to put the big rocks in, then the big rocks will be sticking out of the top of the container because you can't quite get it all in there. It just won't fit. But if you pull the big rocks out and you dump all the sand and the smaller pebbles and the dirt out, and you start first with those big rocks and you put the big rocks into the container, and then you take the smaller pebbles and you pour those in, they'll fall in and fill in the cracks, and then you put the dirt and the sand in and it'll all kind of shake together, and then it will fit. The one container will be enough to fit all those things in. I think maybe Jesus is saying something similar. Because he says, seek first. Seek first. Put the big rocks in first. The big rocks will be your relationship with God, your relationship with your family, your dedication to your church family. Seek first those things. Put the big rocks in first. And then all that other stuff, you can kind of pour it in there, shake it up, and it'll settle down, and the container will be big enough. But if you don't put those big rocks in first, if you don't get those priorities right to start with, then everything's all just a jumbled mess and it all won't fit. And there'll be no breathing room. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto you. Where in your life do you need breathing room? Because I can promise you that life is better with breathing room. And that's where we'll pick up next week. Amen.